Pacific Islanders are very modest. Women, and often men, keep shoulders, torso and legs covered. "Don't even think about that," said the tourist poster. "Strip off your inhibitions and most of your clothes." Equally false was the poster's message to the Pacific hosts. Tourists don't care what you think. They want sun and sex. Luckily, Pacific Islanders usually credit we tourists with more gumption than that. It's good of them when you consider how they can be exploited as lowly paid drivers, waiters, cleaners, barmen, extras in performances put on for foreigners who've come to enjoy whatever's been marketed to them. That marketing can distort Pacific hospitality, as I once saw at Rarotonga Airport. The Cook Islands Visitors Office wants arriving passengers to be welcomed according to custom. And so, once you've got your bags and cleared immigration, a charming vaine in blue and white pariu steps forward, embraces you, and puts round your neck a fragrant A of frangipani or hibiscus. It's a lovely touch, but it wasn't appreciated by a burly middle-aged Australian in front of me. He ripped the A from his neck and pushed away the vaine. "Now you don't. I've already booked a car and me motel. You can't sell me anything. Bugger off." "Kia rana. Welcome to the Cook Islands," smiled the hostess, overcoming with gracious courtesy the law of differing expectations. I suppose grin and bear it could be the motto of the thousands of Pacific Islanders who make a living pleasing visitors. The hotel porter's big beamer and the shy smile from the waitress pay the rent, put taro on the table and uniforms on the schoolchildren. Tourism is among the top three industries in most islands between New Zealand and Hawaii. That's the place where they invented, mostly for the mass American market, Pacific tourism. The ingredients are sun, sea and beaches. They're right outside your Waikiki hotel. And exotic experiences brought to you by cheerful native artists. Aloha! Book here for John Rolls with Cheryl Moana Marie. But there's more. Now you're in Hawaii, why not experience the rest of Polynesia without leaving the island? It's all here. And so I bought my ticket for a day in Polynesia at the Cultural Centre, devised and sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. With tourists from Idaho, Chicago and Seattle, I climbed aboard the tram from which, our brochure told us, we would enjoy songs and dances performed by lovely islanders as double-hulled canoes drift through the mainstream of Polynesian history. The canoes, made of fiberglass, were paddled by lively youngsters in plastic grass skirts, waving and calling out, "Talofa! Bulavanaka! Hairi mai!" and then pausing to switch on the cassette in the canoe's bow so we could enjoy a recording of a Samoan siva, Isale, or Pukarikariana. Next, the brochure told me to explore ancient villages and meet authentic Polynesians who will share their lifestyles. I watched a kava ceremony in Fiji, tukutuku weaving in New Zealand, and went to admire a chief's hut in the Tahitian village. A young woman was piling pandanus mats on the large bed. I wandered over. Pardon, mademoiselle, est-ce que... She stopped me. "Speak English." "Oh, OK. Are these beds used on Tahiti only, or across French Polynesia?" "I don't know. We used to have a Tahitian girl, but she's left." "Ah, don't I recognise that accent?" "Oh, yeah. I'm from Gisborne. I've seen you on the TV." "Sorry, can't help. I'm only rostered in Tahiti on Fridays. Usually I do Samoa on the canoes." She was studying at Brigham Young University, paying her fees selling culture to tourists. 30 years ago, Fiji worked a profitable corner selling duty-free goods to tourists. I lived in Suva in those days, and after work, my wife and I often took the kids to the wharf, where the Oriana, or a sister liner, was berthed. Her 1,000 or so Aussie and Kiwi passengers were on an island-hopping cruise, which included a Suva shopping spree. Welcomed by taxi drivers, sword sellers and souvenir sharks, the visitors spent 5 or 6 hours sweating through the city, accosted by smiling, mustachioed Fijians in florid shirts. Bula, where are you from? You want perfume, radio, golf clubs? Best price here. Inside air-conditioned stores, Gokals, Motibais, Prouds, gracious assistants and sharp Gujarati merchants laid out transistor radios, TV sets, cameras, hairdryers, Chinese chessboards, and anything else that might take their fancy. Special price, just for you. Then the exhausted shoppers headed for the Metropole or the Grand Pacific Hotel to compare bargains over glasses of cold Fiji bitter until the Oriana's hooter called them to the wharf. By the time we arrived, Fiji Army bandsmen in red uniforms and white Zulus were lined up on the quay, while musical director Lieutenant Viliami visited the Oriana captain's cabin. Over the next half hour, the ship's passengers, all sunburned and several intoxicated, clambered aboard bearing cardboard boxes and shouting Bula and Mothe indiscriminately about them. The main gangplank was pulled up, and this was the bit the children loved. Lieutenant Viliami appeared at the top of a swaying rope ladder, peered down to the quayside, and then descended in a manner which made it apparent that the captain of the Oriana had been a generous host. With luck, the lieutenant's leather sandals made contact with every second rung, and the giggles of his bandsmen who were holding it hinted that something other than the light breeze was bouncing it to and fro off the ship's side. At last, cap and tunic adjusted, Viliami stepped onto a dais and waved his baton unnecessarily while the band played Bula Malaya, Chulu Chululu, Colonel Bogey, and eventually, as Lays splashed into the water and the sun set slowly in the west, Isa Lay. Those waving from the quay and those waving from the ship would never meet again. But it would have been no surprise to see a tear in the eye of the most hardened souvenir seller. Like most things that deal to us in the mass, tourism can be a gimcrack business, but not always. I remember flying to Tana in Vanuatu, in a little plane which buzzed the airstrip to scare off browsing cattle and footballing kids. Then we were bounced to our thatched motel, one of two on the island, in a battered ute, suitcase roped on the back. Shy smiles of welcome. Later, against the red dusk, silhouettes scrambled over the beach, poking kerosene flares into crevices to chase out crabs. We admired their catch, enjoyed some of it for dinner, then fell asleep in the starlight to the sound of the surf. The next day, a man drove four of us across black, crumbly scoria, dotted with brilliantly coloured, miraculously surviving flowers. We climbed up rough, hacked steps to hang on to a rope stretched between two stakes and peer into grumbling, belching, awesome Yasur, Tana's volcano. Coming home, we passed through glades among fruit trees while a charming young woman, just out of a high school which had taught her excellent English, told us about the island, its Garden of Eden fertility, its animals, people and history. In the lamp-lit evening, villagers came to our motel, delighted us with dances and sang old songs. Wherever you go in the Pacific, you're among people who love to sing. I don't expect ever to hear more evocative Pacific singing than I did one Sunday morning, 30-plus years ago, after I'd walked in the sunshine along the coast road in Awarua, Rarotonga's main township. I followed 50 or 60 families, men and boys in dark suits, women and girls in white, and those beautifully hand-woven Cook Island hats. They went into their regular pews in the old limestone church. I was ushered upstairs to the gallery, where visitors sit. The pastor, loud and insistent, read and preached to his big congregation, who fluttered their woven fans to move the warm air and sometimes pointed fingers at restless children. And then the women began a soft, sweet chant, and soon the big voices of the men surged across them in splendid descant. Backwards and forwards came and went the Imanituki. You'll hear more of it when I shut up. Billowing off the white chalk church walls and through the long windows out over beach and lagoon and surf to be lost across the ocean. And my favourite Pacific places? Well, you've probably guessed that high on my list is the Cook Islands, where life is lived in lovely surroundings and with celebratory gusto by people with great talent for versatility and cheerfulness. And I enjoy Vanuatu, with its French flavours, pleasant climate, charming people, and fascinating history and custom. But there's huge enjoyment to be had anywhere in the South Pacific, especially if you go not as a tourist, but as an interested neighbour who wants to enjoy a glimpse into the lives of other Pacific people, and who's ready to respond well to warmth.